Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Thursday, June the 5th. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we'll be reading from the Big Book. We're on page 101, the fourth paragraph down at the bottom of the page. You will note that we made through one paragraph ending with, "You had better work with another alcoholic instead." Comments will be on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Madeline B.
What page again? I'm sorry.
Page 101.
Thank you.
Fourth paragraph. Thank you. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Madeline B., the 12 Traditions, Karen M.C. The readers of the text are Diane B., Margaret D., and Janice P.M. The share ID for Wednesday, June 4th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, is 22,496. That's 22496. And for this morning's meeting, Thursday, June 5th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 22,499. That's 22499. Our newcomer greeter is Chanel T., and our announcements person is Leslie M. Thank you all for your devoted service to this. Make this meeting work. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask, here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Madeline B. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Madeline.
Good morning. I'm Madeline B. in Oregon, a compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Madeline B. I will now ask Karen M.C. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much. This is Karen M.C. from Texas. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Tradition 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority. Loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience, our leaders are but trusted servants they do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. OA groups ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me read, and thank you for your service, Mo.
Hey, thank you very much, Karen MC. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 101, the fourth paragraph down at the bottom. You will note that we made through one paragraph ending, you had better work with another alcoholic instead. And I will now ask Diane B. to begin reading. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everybody. I'm so glad to be here with you. My name is Diane B., and I'm gratefully recovered here in New York. You will note we made an important qualification. Therefore, ask yourself on each occasion, have I any good social, business, or personal reasons for going to this place? Or am I expecting to steal a little vicarious pleasure from the atmosphere of such places? If you answer these questions satisfactorily, you need have no apprehension. Go or stay away, whichever seems best, but be sure you are on solid spiritual ground before you start and that your motive is going and is thoroughly good. Do not think of what you will get out of the occasion. Think of what you can bring to it. But if you are shaky, you had better work with another alcoholic instead. Again, I'm Diane B. from New York. And this is a great, great paragraph that I go over with my sponsees many times. And also, I have to look at it myself. I have to ask myself, do I have an important reason to go? Do I have a good social, business, or personal reason for going to this place? And if I do, then let's keep going on in this paragraph. So if I don't, and I'm trying to get some vicarious pleasure, or I'm not on solid spiritual footing, for me that means having food neutrality and having a conscious contact with my higher power. So if I do have a good answer for that, then I can go. But if I'm not, if I don't have that food neutrality, if I'm not on solid spiritual footing, then I should, they're telling me that I should not go and better to work with another compulsive eater. So there are a couple of ifs in here. If you answer these questions satisfactorily, but if you are shaky, okay, so if I am on good ground, but if not, then I shouldn't go. And I, one of my former sponsors many, many years ago had told me, check your intentions. Like, why are you going? What are you going for? And I have to say that in my disease days, I would just hang around the buffet table at a party or a gathering and just talk to whoever came up to the table. Today, I don't go to the table. Today, I go to the people, and I go and I see who's there, and I go talk to people, and I'm socializing. You know, part of this disease is isolation. Well, I could easily isolate within a group. Like, I could be in a social setting, in a wedding, and a, you know, party, whatever, and still be isolated, just me and the food. Today, I don't have to do that anymore because I have learned how to be around people. This book teaches me how to have healthy relationships. So, you know, again, I have to ask myself if I have any, if I have good intentions for going. And rather than going to see what food there is or what I can get out of it, I have to remember and think and pray about what can I bring to the occasion. Am I going for the birthday cake or am I going to help celebrate the birthday person or whoever the honored person is? Yeah, so I think that's about all I've got on this one, but thank you for the opportunity to do service. My pass.
Well, thank you very much, Diane B., for getting us started. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last 3 days, so that would be Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Monday, please give me your name.
Alex K.
Alex K.
Wendy M.
Chanel T.
Wendy M. I didn't get who was after Wendy. Is it Michelle?
O.
Oh, Kathleen. Oh, Kathleen.
Chanel T.
Kathleen. Oh, Chanel T.
Merritt W.
Merritt, was that?
Yes, like the badge.
Okay, so is it just M-E-R-I-T?
M-E-R-I-T, yep.
Okay, and what was the last initial, Merritt?
W.
Thank you. Sorry, I'm a little slow this morning. Anyone else? I have Alex K., Wendy M., Kathleen O., Chanel T., and Merritt W.
Julie B.
Margaret
Julie
D., Georgia.
Okay, we'll stop with Margaret. Margaret D. All right, everyone else, mute your phone except Alex. Good morning, Alex.
Thank you, Mo. Thanks, everyone, for being here and doing service. I'm Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, given a reprieve for today. This line, do not think of what you will get out of the occasion. Think of what you can bring to it. That reminds me of the line in, earlier in the book, our purpose, real purpose is to fit ourselves to be a maximum service to God and the people about us. And the idea of being of service as my purpose is a gift of the program. Before program, I volunteered and offered help at times, but I did it just now and then when I had time and when it was convenient. Now it's more a way of life. I have a sense of purpose I didn't have before, and I look for ways to be helpful and of service wherever I can, in and out of program, because it helps me. It feels good, and I really want to do it and feel the need to do it, and I feel aligned with my higher power's will for me when I have that mindset of how can I serve. And it helps me feel more connected to people and compassionate towards other people. I'm just one of many, just another human, not separate from people as I used to feel. We're all in this together, and we can help one another. And it also helps me when I'm going to a social occasion because I have social anxiety, so I get very nervous before an event. And if I think about how I might be of service to someone at the event, what I can bring, what I can give, that takes the focus off me and worrying about what people will think of me, what I'll say, et cetera. And I can look at it as I'm on a mission for my higher power. I'm there to be of service. how can I best serve my higher power and those around me? And that really does reduce my anxiety because I'm less self-centered and more higher power-centered, and I'm not doing it alone. I'm doing it with my higher power and seeking only my higher power's will for me in that situation and the power to carry that out. And this is really a whole new attitude for me, and it's kind of empowering. I feel my higher power with me, and I'm safe and protected, and my focus is back on my higher power where it belongs. Sometimes I'm almost even eager to attend the event. I might still be a little bit nervous, but it's not overwhelming, and I look forward to it, and I'm curious about how my higher power mission will go, so I can see it as another exciting adventure with my higher power. Thanks, everyone.
Hey, thank you very much, Alex K. from California. Up next is Wendy M., followed by Kathleen O. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service always. And these shares are just spectacular. I love this paragraph. So I said the other day at a meeting, this program is about abundance. It's not about deprivation. And we get the abundance when we are in God's world, right? When I'm aligned with God, when I have conscious contact, because I don't have to worry about Wendy anymore, right? Wendy's done. And I'm in God's world. It's freedom. It's freedom beyond belief. It's right. It's a catapult into the fourth dimension of existence. That is abundance. It's so freeing. So I want to say a couple things. On this paragraph, it's feel a little vicarious pleasure. A lot, right? My life is about motives. This is the question that we're asking ourselves in these paragraphs. What are your motives, right? And in this program, this is the first time in my life where somebody said, what are your motives? What are you talking about, my motives, right? I've been stealing for a long time, whether it's food, men, love, sex, doesn't matter. But this says, stop. What are your motives? What is it you're trying to get from the occasion, right? And that's what this question asks, this paragraph asks us. What are we trying to get? And, you know, the minute we go, oh, my God, I'll give you a weird example. So I put my bananas in the freezer so I can have a frozen banana. Guess what? I can have that banana normal, but when it's frozen, I'm getting some vicarious pleasure. And I know I am. See, that's the brilliance of this program, is that when we're using, right, because it looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a duck. That banana becomes some sort of sugary treat. And I treat it as such. So I'm trying to get a vicarious thrill from that state of the banana. And when I'm doing that, I'm out of alignment with God. Because as somebody said this morning, what's my purpose? What is this whole paragraph about? It's about me being useful. It's about me showing up and saying, what can I bring? Because the minute I say, what can I bring to the occasion? It's like an alchemical moment. I instantly am rearranged. Those thoughts, I'm instantly rearranged. I'm no longer Wendy seeking, Wendy looking, Wendy stealing. It's not that at all. It's what can I bring to the occasion? How can I be useful? And the minute I'm useful, I'm not the same person. I'm completely aligned with God. My intuitive knowing is God. My inspiration is God. Because I took an action. I said to my sponsees yesterday, and by the way, working with sponsees, they're nothing like it, do it. I said, I want you to jump in and actually share on this vision line, you know, because they have something to contribute, because it's an into action program, not into thinking. So we take these actions and we get God, right? Because I'm on God's assignment. I'm not on Wendy's assignment. I just have to say, like, I'm the lead in a play. Who cares? What matters yesterday is that I got to work with two people reading this book and working on their resentment. That is God's assignment for me. And how did I feel afterwards? Fabulous. I wasn't feeling so vicarious. Thank you so much, Mo, for letting me share.
Yeah, thank you very much, Wendy M. from Colorado. Up next is Kathleen O., followed by Chanel T. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much. This is Kathleen O., recovered compulsive eater in Northern California. So being on fit spiritual footing, good spiritual ground. When I go to a function, first of all, I'll set an intention. And if I'm on fit spiritual ground, I'm going to talk to people. You know, people love to talk about their kids, their grandkids, and so I'll ask people, you know, well, how are the grandkids? How are the kids? And if I'm on fit spiritual ground, I'm going to love and be interested in what they're telling me. If I'm not, I'm going to be half listening, and the other half of me is going to be focusing on the food. And that hasn't happened in a long time. I really do love talking to people. I love, as much as I love going places and doing things, I realize, like Alex had mentioned, I realize that I get social anxiety when I'm at parties and functions where there's a lot of people. And it's just, this one party I went to, this was years ago, there's a lot of people, I knew them. There's a lot of small tables, and it was a big buffet line with two sides to it. And I had already eaten. I went with a plan. And I started feeling really awkward. But I'm telling you, nobody paid any attention to me. I got at the end of the line, and I was talking to the person ahead of me. And when that person went to get their food, I turned around and went over to where my husband was eating, and I asked for the keys to the car. And I went and sat in the car, and I called my sponsor, and I said, I'm just realizing I'm just having so much anxiety right now and feeling like I'm sticking out and people are noticing. And nobody was paying any attention to me. I went back in. I went and sat at a table. Nobody noticed I wasn't eating. They just thought I had eaten, and I was joining their table. So it's we do have to be on, you know, fit spiritual ground and look at what are we bringing. I have to look at what can I bring rather than, you know, it's like Thanksgiving. It's not about what's on the table. It's what is around the table. And parties, it's the same thing. It's who's there, who can I be of service to. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Hey, thank you very much, Kathleen O. from California. Up next is Chanel T., followed by Merritt W. Good morning, Chanel.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. As always, this is Chanel T. in the Pacific Northwest, Washington State. I am a grateful and recovered compulsive eater by the grace of God. You know, if I'm fitting myself and I'm asking God to fit me to be of maximum usefulness, then that's a great reason to go do something, right? If my own oxygen mask is on and the oxygen is flowing, I think of myself being an addict with food and food behaviors. I think of myself as someone who needs the oxygen mask, like you see on the plane when they talk about it. They say, okay, pull down your oxygen mask, put your own oxygen on first before you try to help somebody else. The oxygen tank that hopefully my oxygen mask is connected to is flowing unlimited oxygen because it's my higher power. A non-addict can just breathe without that mask. I need it. So if I'm going to go do something in a social setting or anything where I could be triggered, my disease could be triggered, the twist probably is coming first, right? And I might put something in my mouth that would trigger the bodily allergy. I've really got to look at whether my oxygen mask is on and the oxygen is flowing freely. I have to do that. It's not an option for me as an addict. I'm always an addict. I'm always a compulsive eater. So I've got to do that. The good news is I get to go all sorts of places I thought I could never go. All the events that I avoided. I avoided weddings. I avoided baby showers. I avoided because I was terrified of eating that substance, whatever it was. So I wasn't there. And then if I did go, all I was thinking about was that substance, whatever it was, you know, cake, whatever. It's amazing now that I can just do this internal check-in, go to my higher power. Am I going to be of usefulness at this event, at this restaurant, at this whatever? Because if I am, great, then I know I'm covered because I'm doing the work I need to do in the steps every single day of my life. But if I'm not doing the work I need to do, or, you know, I'm just wonky, I'm an introvert, maybe I need some time to myself. So the birthday party, the OA birthday party, highly recommend going. Trying to wrap this up quickly. They have a breakfast. People go down for breakfast at the restaurant each morning. I didn't go. It wasn't just financial. It was I needed to recharge in order to be spiritually fit. I cannot be around people for 12 hours a day. I've got to have time to recharge. Am I spiritually fit? Do I have the right reason? Am I going to be codependent, or am I going to something, you know, because I want to please people, or am I going because I can be of use in a way that I feel my higher power is showing me? It's really very basic, and I love that it's spelled out here. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Oh, perfect. Thank you very much, Chanel T. from Washington State. Up next is Merritt W., followed by Julie B. And Merritt, please let us know where you're calling from.
Yes. Hi, my name is Merritt. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm calling from Missouri. thank you. Wow, what a great meeting. I mean, I feel like I say that and think that every meeting, like, these years are so good, and what do I have to offer? And what I have to offer is a different perspective, because no one has my perspective. And, you know, I'm a mom listening to A Vision for You and all the other meetings, and I'm a mom of a four-year-old and a two-year-old, and there aren't a lot of us with long-term recovery, or I don't hear a lot of us with long-term recovery. And that's because it's really, really hard. I'm triggered constantly. And I feel like I'm a stay-at-home mom. So I'm of maximum usefulness at all times to the max. So the oxygen mask thing that was mentioned is really resonates with me. And it is something that I work really, really hard on, because there's a lot of shame, guilt, you know, a bunch of other, you know, anger, a bunch of emotions that I don't have a lot of control over. I guess I should say it feels like I don't have a lot of control over when my emotions are triggered, but I have a lot of control over the actions I take when I am triggered. And the more I'm, you know, listening to meetings and listening to how recovered people live in the world, the more I can take those actions. And like, for example, I have a son that he's two, and he's been sick for, it's the eighth day, he's had some respiratory thing. And for those that don't remember, because I feel like a lot of, you know, these, all of our meetings, there's lots of people that maybe are outside of this season of life. Day eight is you've experienced 7 days of scream crying, coughing, you're worried about them, but also, like, at a certain point, you're just ready for this to be effing done. And so that's where I was yesterday. I wanted this to be done. And I was very triggered by yet another day of scream crying, coughing, you know, and just, you know, not really knowing how to help, because this is a two-year-old. They can't say, "Mother, please do X, Y, Z." Like, that's not my reality. And I could feel my emotions in my body. And that's what I, you know, putting the food down has made my feelings very acute. And but putting the food down also turns the volume all the way up on my higher power, and all the way up on, I'll just finish by saying, all the way up on what's the next right action. And my higher power had me talk to them and helped me through that whole thing. And that is not a reality I have outside of this program. Thanks.
Well, thank you very much, Merritt W. from Missouri. Up next is Julie B., followed by Margaret D., and after Margaret, I'll be able to take another lineup of names. Good morning, Julie.
Hi, this is Julie B. from Oregon, compulsive overeater. just starting recovery. 9 days abstinent. Super happy to be here. I have a sponsor. I have a food plan, and I'm just like really happy about what's going on in my life and all of you. And I love this 7 a.m. meeting, so thank you. One of the surprising things I'm discovering is what it feels like to be hungry. I can't even remember the last time that I felt hungry, because my habit has been to just eat all day long, just all day long. And I haven't been hungry in a long time. So I'm on a plan now that's for 3 meals a day with no snacks. And so in the late afternoon, I realized like, oh, I'm hungry, but I can hang on till dinner. I can. I ask for help from my higher power and I get there. But it's kind of a good feeling. And that's different from craving, which is what I used to have. And craving, oh, that's a terrible feeling. I can feel it in my mouth and my neck and my head and my forehead, and I just want to shove everything in my mouth. So I'm happy about that. The reading talks about occasions. That's perfect for me right now. This time of year, I have graduations and parties and birthdays and all kinds of things coming up. So I'm going to be more ready to go into this now because of all of your shares, which I appreciate. So instead of going to my my little grandson turned 1 a year ago, and I was the first person that ate a piece of cake before the baby, before his mom, like I grabbed the first piece of cake, like how selfish. Now it's his second birthday party. I'm not going to have any cake. I'm going to walk around and pick up dirty dishes and maybe pick up garbage, ask his mother how I can help. I'm gonna serve her and the purpose rather than grabbing cake. And one more thing, the reading talks about vicarious pleasures, and they don't always have to be in person. I love watching the Great British Bake Off, and that's kind of my vicarious pleasure. I watch it every single night, and I didn't realize until this reading that that's maybe not a good idea. Still getting my entertainment from food rather than from healthier kinds of things. So I think I'm going to turn that off and see if I can figure out something else to do. So thank you very much, everybody, for your shares and all of the service people that make this day possible, Mo and the whole gang. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Oh, thank you very much, Julie B. from Oregon. And before I take Margaret, let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 101 in the big book. The fourth paragraph down at the bottom of the page, you will note that we made an important qualification, and it ends at the top of the next page. You had better work with another alcoholic instead. And after Margaret, a D, I will take another lineup of names. Good morning, Margaret.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Hey, Mo, thank you so much for your service. Always, always a pleasure when you're around. So I've been listening, trying to kind of look back in my own experience about when did I, was there an event I went to that I was on shaky grounds? And it wasn't because of the food or because of whatever, it wasn't because of the food. And so the incident that comes to mind is when my daughter was married, and she's 53 now, so I get, 30-some years ago. And I had just gone through a divorce. I think the papers had been final for, you know, like maybe 2 weeks or a month or so or whatever. And my goal in going there was to show everybody how I had been wronged and how the new wife, my ex-husband was then remarried at that time, you know, how horrible she was and wasn't I a victim, and everybody should just, you know, put their hands up over their mouth when I walk by and say, oh, there she is, and isn't she, you know, wasn't she done wrong, blah, blah, blah. Well, that's this debt is for a compulsive eater. Oh my God, that is the shaky ground. That, you know, if I had been buried under the soil somewhere, I still would have been not on shaky ground, but in shaky ground. And so I had just enough understanding of program in me to realize that this event was not put on. I wasn't there, you know, to have another example of how I was the victim and how I'd been treated wrong and whatever. But it was about my daughter, and it was about her celebrating a new life with somebody that she loved. And one other little piece of information about it, and I'm going to try and hurry this up, is that everything, all the input that I had when asked, well, actually, I don't think I was even asked much, but whatever input I had about, you know, where the wedding should be and who should be invited and all of that, I had none. Absolutely none. And as a matter of fact, it was such a small wedding. My daughter requested that she get married at her dad's house where he was living with his new wife. And it was very small. When my thinking changed from how I, getting off that shaky ground about it was all about me being a victim, to what was put in front of me to make her day a success, everything changed. Absolutely everything. And so what I'm finding out is it's what has God put in front of me to do? That's what gets me back on solid ground. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Margaret D. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Sherry D.
Janice.
Donna B.
Okay, I think I heard Sherry Z.
Yep. Thanks, Mo.
And then I heard Janice PM. And who else was there?
Donna B.
I got Donna. Okay, Donna B. Who was after Donna? There was another person after Donna.
You have time, Kathy G.
Kathy G. I think we'll stop there. So I have Sherry Z, Janice PM, Donna B, and Kathy G. And if we have more time, I'll let you know. Good morning, everybody mute except Sherry. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service and for everyone who does service. I'm Sherry Z, recovering in Southern California. And what I love about the big book is that it gives instructions. So it says, one, have I a good reason for being there? Two, am I trying to get away with something? And then it asked me to reflect on my personal being. Am I on solid ground? Can I check my motives? Can I be of service? And can I really work with others? And I love these instructions, but sometimes I'm in a moment that is so rushed, meaning I haven't had the grounding to sit back and reflect, what are my intentions? And a friend of mine in program shared something with me that I wanted to share. And she says, when you don't have the time, just ask yourself, am I trying to get away with something? Like, am I trying to hide, lie, cheat, steal? Like, even in the smallest way. And then, if the answer to that is yes, what can I do to be of service? To immediately flip the script. And recently, I've been in some situations that have been so triggering, and I know I'm not in the spiritual fit condition that I need to be in to go into every place. But I can say, in that moment, even if I'm not totally on solid ground, am I trying to get away with something? How can I be with service? That two clicks literally brings God back into the conversation. And the minute God enters, God says to me one thing, you were made from goodness. You are good. You don't need anything to comfort you, love you, appreciate you, calm you, whatever that verb is. You are made from goodness. You are good. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Okay, thank you very much. Sherry Z from California. Up next is Janice P.M., followed by Donna B. Good morning, Janice.
And good morning to you.
What happened? You got muted.
Oh, boy.
There you go.
Good morning to you. Good morning to you, Mo, and my family. Yes, I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Yes, everybody, my goodness, I must have gone through, about 8 or 9 shares before me, and they just were marvelous to give me, to help me before the graduation party that I'm going to on Sunday. I mean, you know, I know this intellectually, but I am a recovered compulsive overeater for one day. So, you know, I can't go Sunday with the spiritual condition I have today at this moment. I have to plan. For me, it's another day. Okay, it's another day, but it's, you know, one of those days. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm not cured. And I've learned a lot through this, even this meeting now. What is this, you know, I have a physical problem. I have a mental problem, but I have a spiritual problem. And, you know, there's so much to say here. I was always self-reliant. Well, now I won't plan. You know, Sunday's coming. I know what I got to do. No, I have to say, okay, Sunday is coming. And when Sunday comes, I have to plan the day. What the first thing is to ask God for help in the morning, do my meditation, do my prayers, maybe go to a meeting, you know, get in fit spiritual condition, you know, plan my food. If I haven't already called and asked what they're having there that day, what time the situation is, it's going to be 1 o'clock, so that's about lunchtime for me, and et cetera, et cetera. Because, you know, even though I'm recovered, if I'm not in a good place, I'm not cured. I may have a desire. But the difference today, because I have gone through these 12 principles, I have implemented the 12 principles for a thinking of my transformation of thinking, I cannot act on that desire. See, and because I now am at, you know, this is the 12th step, I know intellectually, but I have to act accordingly. To not act on my desires, all right? But they're fleeting. I ask God for help because he's my shield, okay? So he's my protection. The telephone is my protection, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. Insanity will return because my perception of things are different today. I'm a compulsive overeater, and God is bigger than my donuts or macaroni or anything like that. So yeah, it's just a miracle, you know, that God is bigger, and I'm going to rely on him. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Janice PM from Massachusetts. Up next is Donna B, followed by Kathy G, and Donna is spelled D-A-N-A. Good morning.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for the warm introduction. I am Donna B, a compulsive overeater, bulimic and restrictor, and I live in Denver, Colorado. I am considering attending an event this Sunday that unfortunately is not celebratory at all. And there won't be any food there either. But I'm really struggling with the question of whether to stay or to go. There was a very unfortunate violent event that happened in Boulder a few days ago. And on Sunday, there will be a gathering of people to acknowledge what happened and to stand in solidarity against that incident. That incident saddens me, scares me, threatens something that is very important and valuable to me, to my family, to my history. And there's a part of me that wants to go to say out loud, I am here and I do stand in solidarity. But there's another part of me that is scared. And I'm not sure when I check in with my higher power and when I sincerely ask where I can be of maximum service to God and to my fellows, that being part of a public demonstration is where I can be of maximum service. I know the woman who organized the event that happened, and she's the same woman organizing the upcoming event. She lives in my neighborhood, and she has two twin boys that I think are 4 years old. And I contacted her, and I said, can I babysit for the boys? So maybe while the demonstration is happening, and while it is of real importance to me, the message that that demonstration is carrying, I think for my soul and for my spirit and where God would have me be is possibly in my own home, watching these two little boys while their mother is trained, experienced, a professional in tackling this challenge that is facing our community. So again, not celebratory, not food, but I really have to ask my higher power where I should and should not be. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Donna B. from Colorado. And our last share will be Kathy G. Kathy, I can give you 2 minutes.
Hi there.
Star one. Okay, can you hear me? There you are. Good morning, Kathy. Yes.
Hi, this is Kathy Gardner, Kathy G., and I live in Metro Atlanta. This is my first time sharing on this meeting, and I've been happily and gratefully abstinent for just over 5.5 months. So I just wanted to share that I was at an event that I did have a good reason for going to over the weekend. I sincerely thought, I might get emotional here, that I used all the tools, all of them, except a couple, because I forgot or didn't know that those were options, to get through a very long 9-hour wedding, and that's too long for me. But anyway, by the end of it, I was just so, done and over it, but yet my partner is the father of the groom, and it was like, you know what, you just need to set yourself aside. That was my prayer the entire time, set yourself aside. God, help me set myself aside, but at the same time, I was done. And I did, and we made it through, and I was abstinent, but basically the next day, I completely just unraveled and needed to unpack that with my sponsor, and I felt so ashamed and so terrible. And, you know, did I owe an amends? And he said no, he didn't even notice, and thank God for that, because I can still show up and stay in right action regardless of how I feel most of the time. And she just said, that is early abstinence, my friend. You know, that is how it goes. You know, that is what it's like to feel all your feelings and not be in the food. And she said, you know, next time, you know, you'll have some important things you can do. You can call someone. You can take a 5-minute bathroom break and pray. You can bring a healthy snack, because there were long periods between meals that I was not anticipating, that I did not have a plan for. And ultimately, I also know that this experience, even though I did everything I could, it was really hard. is going to really help me be useful when I'm sponsoring in the future.
Fine.
Because I'm going to, thank you, I'll be the one who says, I know what that's like. Let me help you with that. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Kathy, where are you calling from again? Okay, she passed. Okay, thank you very much for everybody. Sheriffs, great meeting. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask Margaret D. to read A Vision for You, page 164.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.